little bit to what Jay said, just a little bit to what I went through for the 24 hours. I started at 8, and the first 10 minutes I was already freezing cold, and I decided to go from Fred Meyer to Walmart back and forth twice, and I knew on the way God would bring me people to touch, and it did. I saw a lot of people walking on the street, and I poured my heart out about God, and God just totally just touched them, just blew them away. It's amazing just to watch it happen right in front of you. And when I was gonna go to sleep, sorry, I'm a little bit loopy because I'm just really, really tired. But when I was gonna go to sleep, I went to this toy section by Fred Meyer. There's a park and there's this toy section, and there's this little crevice kind of thing, and I just went in there, slept for an hour, and then I woke up, I got out, and I went onto the ground and slept for another hour. When I woke up, I mean, the ground was just frozen hard and my body was just really, really stiff. And I checked on the internet on my phone, and I was apparently going through hyperthermia. And I asked God to provide heat for me. I started praying, and he told me to go to McDonald's. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's going to be closed at 3 in the morning, or I can't remember what time it was, like 3 or 4. And so I just go. I leave all my stuff there, and I just go to McDonald's, and apparently it was open. And I go back later to the park, and some of my stuff is gone. I guess somebody must have took it. But throughout the whole time, I was not condemned whatsoever. I was happy the whole time, because that's who God is. That's who God love. He's love. He's happiness. That's who I was to everyone that I met. Everyone. Never. I was never sad at anything like that. But it was pretty amazing. I wanted to share a different testimony last week, but I didn't get to. I don't have a license. I have an expired permit. And I took my friend to one of his friend's house, and I parked in this private property, and he went, and I was just listening to some Christian music, and I prayed to God. I said, God, I want to talk to a cop today. I want to pour my heart out to a policeman. And so just a few minutes later, this policeman pulls up, puts the light on me, and I get out, and I go up to his window, and I said, you know, hey, what's up? And he tells me to get away from his car. He gets out, and he starts questioning me, telling me what I'm doing there, if I'm robbing the house that was right next to it. And I said no, and he checked my ID. It was expired. He put my hands on the hood, and he checked me. Then he put me in his back of his cop car. And at this point, most people are just scared. They're just like, oh, they're just like, you know. But not me. I was jumping up and down. I was happy. I was just happy. And when he opens the door to talk to me, I don't even let him talk. I just pour my heart out about God. And he was just like, whoa. Like, he was just speechless. And he just let me go. I had no license, expired tabs. I was on private property. It was in the middle of the night. All this stuff. No insurance, nothing. And he just let me go. I didn't pour my heart out about God to him to get away from a ticket. I did it because that's who I am. But God is amazing, and He's definitely changed my life for eternity. He's in my heart for eternity.
Would you just join me for a moment? Let's just thank the Lord. Just out loud, just thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you that you first loved us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our sacrifice, being our Savior, being our deliverer. Thank you for being our healer, Lord. Thank you for loving us, God, with an everlasting love. Thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that you abide in us, you live in us, that you use us, Lord, as a house, Lord. You inhabit us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Daddy, for making us your children. Thank you, Daddy, for watching over us to protect us and care for us. Even in the middle of the night in freezing weather, you watch over us. Thank you, Lord, that having food on our table and the bills paid, Lord, matters to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done, Lord, here today. And Lord, we know you're not done. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we would not let this be, Lord, just segregated to this time and gathering, Lord, but we would literally, Lord, have you with us and in us and moving through us. And Lord, that we'd give you the room in our lives, Lord, that you need, God, to make yourself known, Lord, to make you a reality in our life. We want to know the truth of God, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, God. Let that be so evident in us, Lord, that we live the truth. We don't just say it, but we live it, Lord. We want to be living words, Lord. Living Bibles walking around. Living Jesus in this hour, in this day, Lord. We want to be you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Why don't you go hug on somebody? Or shake their hand? They don't want to hug. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, if the children like to come up, and Impact, which is our youth, our junior high and high schoolers, they'll be going downstairs and having some time in a class. Hi, hon, how are you? Got a little echo here, Jess. Echo. Praise the Lord.
You got my name?
What's your name, hon?
Malina.
Well, that's a pretty name. Well, Father, we pray right now, God, that you would just touch our children today. Lord, they're your children. You just pray. You keep praying. Touch our children, Lord. They're your children, God. Lord, and I pray that they would realize today who they are in Christ. God, that there would be an awakening that would come to their hearts, that they would know, Lord, that you have called them, even in this hour, Lord, not when they grow up, Lord, but today to be used by you. I pray, Lord, that they would be examples on their playgrounds with their friends, God, that they would, Lord, even hide your word in their heart in these young years, Lord. I just thank you, God, for these lives, Lord, that are transforming and changing, Lord, and influencing their world in this day, in this hour, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've got quite a few things here to cover. Okay, so I'm announcing this, right? Okay, so this Friday night, here, let me do this first. This Friday night at 6:30, we're supposed to have, I'll say it that way because right now we only have a few people that have responded, our volunteers appreciation dinner. And I'll still say it, it's kind of funny, but would anybody like to volunteer to help with the volunteer appreciation dinner? I mean, if you haven't had a chance to volunteer, here's your chance. Volunteer for the volunteer appreciation dinner. And if you'd like to do that, you don't have to raise your hand. See Pastor Gay after service. Raise your hand, Pastor Gay, so everybody knows who you are. There we go. That way I know who you are. That's always good. But we have, given out these cards, and we have done our very best. How many know that it's easy sometimes to, like, miss, let something slip through the cracks? We do not want to have that happen. So if you have not received any kind of information about the volunteer appreciation dinner, and you know in your heart of hearts that you are a volunteer, your heart of hearts, volunteers are people who, you know, help with the cleaning of the church. We have a 6-week rotation crew, and they come, and I'm so thankful for them because we're able to come to church on Sunday, and it's clean. Do you know how bad that would be if we came to church and it wasn't clean? And then think if it wasn't clean for like 2 months. That'd start to get pretty nasty, wouldn't it? So I'm thankful for the cleaning volunteers. The nursery volunteers who go down and hold babies and do other things with babies that need to be done when you have a baby. Use your imagination. We're so thankful for the nursery volunteers. I'm so thankful for Angela Honer, who leads the nursery. And make sure that there are people in the nursery. So, praise the Lord for nursery volunteers. So those are the kind of volunteers I'm talking about. If you're a regular volunteer and you do things around here and you know that you're in your heart of hearts doing it for the kingdom of God, then please join us 6:30 Friday night for an amazing meal. RSVP, admin@cotm.net, or text Gay or me, or just come see us after a service. How's that? Did I cover it? Adult only. Unless you're not an adult and you are a volunteer in your heart of hearts. So how's that for covering the basis? Okay. Good news. Well, for some it might be good news, but I have the host home prayer schedule. Most of the time I just text it, but if you're really dying to know how many or what all the houses will be at through April 20th, then please come up and get one. And not done yet. Oh, I missed one of those. Could Bill, could you run this down to Zeke and Tara? I bet they might need that. I was supposed to be there with them. And thank you. And this coming Friday is our 24/7 prayer. And we, as a church, on the first Friday of every month, join with many churches in the valley, not on the first Friday, that's our Friday, but we join with many churches in the valley, many ministries, who pray for the city through the month of February, March, April. Every month, we take a certain day, certain amount of hours, and we pray. So this coming Friday is that time. If you don't remember your time anymore, ask me. I can tell you so that you can hopefully remember. And if you need a new time, then I'm going to send around a sheet here so you can sign up for a new time so that at least we kind of have it figured out who's praying at what time. If you would like to be on the 24/7 prayer, basically all you do is you'll get one of these sheets here today. If you want me to contact you by email with this sheet, just put your email down. If you'd like to leave your phone number, then we'll probably give you a call or a text and remind you the day before that it's time for the 24/7 prayer. So it's an amazing deal to be part of, a ministry to be part of. Last time I shared that there's actually murders that have gone down, crimes have gone down in our city since 24/7 prayer has started. So I encourage you to sign up for it. Just come on, somebody do a 12 to 1 a.m. I want to see that one. How about this, a 3 to 4 a.m.? 2 to 3 a.m.? Come on, somebody can do it. Okay, so we'll pass that around. And then up here after service, if you want to get your sheets for the scripture support. How's that? Okay. I always hate lots of announcements, but sometimes you have to do it. Wrong passcode. So, help me, Lord. Where do we go from here? Over the past few weeks, I've been sharing about the love of God, actually quite a few months, but focusing on the love of God, focusing on the light of God and coming into God's light and receiving all that he is through, you know, leaving our darkness, leaving the lies, the enemy, leaving the bondages and the chains and coming to the light and letting that light purify us, cleanse us. And I've also been talking about there's actually a song we were listening to last night. I don't know if everybody liked it, but I love it. It says that there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear, which is 1 John 4:18, I think it is. And I've been saying that in my heart. I've needed to like receive it anew, just like I've had to receive my sonship as a son of the Most High, as a child of God, that God the Father is my daddy. He's not just God a father in heaven and someday I'll, you know, get to be, you know, sitting in his, you know, court or whatever it is. He's my daddy and he loves me and he's redeemed me through his son, Jesus Christ, and I'm now his and he's mine. And so all of that revelation has come to me. And through all of this, the more that I realize he loves me, the more I realize that I'm loved by him and it's not a love that I've earned, it's just given to me freely, the more I want to please him. The more I want to be like him, the more I want to make it so that my life gives him honor and praise in this earth. And as I was contemplating this word fear, and because as I've shared before, is that when I believe the Bible's saying perfect love casts out fear, it says that the reason that this is because fear has to do with torment, has to do with judgment, and I'm righteous in Jesus Christ. I'm right standing with God. I don't have to, you know, always be looking over my shoulder, wondering, you know, am I going to make it? Because I'm in Christ's righteousness, and I'm right with God, and I don't have to have fear in my heart. I don't have to have anxiety in my heart about if I'm okay with God. I can be comfortable in that. But then on the flip side, there's another kind of fear that we're encouraged to have. Go figure. One kind of fear that perfect love drives it away from us. And then another kind of fear that we're actually encouraged to have. And that fear is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, it says in the Old Testament, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, you know, if we don't have the fear of the Lord, it sounds like it's going to be really difficult to have true wisdom. It sounds like it's going to be really difficult to have true understanding. I didn't have this planned, but if you'll turn with me real quick to Isaiah chapter 11. I think it's verse 2 or 3. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, we can start at verse 1. Isaiah 11, starting at verse 1. Says here that there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now the stem of Jesse was the lineage of David, and this is talking about Jesus Christ as coming as a branch or root of David or a root of Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. I think that's amazing that all of those things are being ended. All of the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge are ending with this, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is necessary. And today's title is calling Embracing the Fear. Embracing the Fear. And it actually says in verse 3, now this is interesting, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. So Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. He had a fulfillment that came from the fear of the Lord. Now, the thing is that we have to get away from being in a kind of fear like God's mad at us, God's doesn't like us, God's, you know, ticked off at us. You know, all these things where we start looking at God as this, you know, guy up there just like this. And so because of that, we're condemned and we're shamed and we don't approach him. We really kind of push him away, or we push ourselves away from him because we're not worthy of him. And that's not the kind of fear that I'm talking about. That's the kind of fear that perfect love will cast out. But this fear we want to keep all the time. You don't want to get rid of this fear that I'm going to talk about. And this fear, as I text somebody last night, is necessary, I believe, to be truly in Christ. If you don't have this fear, it's impossible to remain in Christ. So, let's see what this fear is. If you will turn to me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll start reading at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you've left us your word. Lord, that your word, God, is a living and active entity in our lives. That it's not just letters on pages that we have to try to figure out, but the Spirit of truth that's inside of us connects with this living word, and it changes us and transforms us and opens our eyes and opens our ears and helps us to understand you and gain knowledge of you so that we can truly be changed, so we can truly become who you desire us to be into the image of your Son. So, Father, I pray right now, God, that as I share, as I communicate, that you will speak through me, that you'll be the one that lets the results come, and Lord, that you will let, Lord, your total fulfilled will, Lord, happen in our lives through it. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, that we can gather together freely in a country and freely listen to your word being spoken, that we don't have to hide out in some kind of cave or from the government. Lord, we still have the liberties in this nation to have your word taught to us in a public gathering. We're grateful. We're thankful. Don't know how much longer we'll have it, but Lord, we're grateful and we're thankful for it right now. I want you to know we're very grateful, Lord, that we can come freely, Lord, and worship you, Lord, and publicly declare your goodness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It says in verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Picture cinching your belt. Picture making sure everything's secure on you. In your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's a mouthful. You could preach that. As obedient children, we are the children of God. So out of that relationship, let's be obedient children, not conforming ourselves or yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. When we weren't saved, we lived a certain way. We did certain things. We acted certain ways. We thought certain ways. We kept motives and you know, bad thinking and stuff in our heart. And we did it out of ignorance. We didn't know better. I remember before I was saved, you know, I would go to certain shows and do certain things. And some of them, I mean, you guys would like drop your mouths open. You heard what I did. But, I mean, it was out of ignorance. It was not out of like, you know, just because I wanted to do that, to, you know, shake my fist at God. I just didn't know any better. It was out of ignorance. But listen to this in verse 15. But as he who called you is holy. Did you guys know that he's holy? We sang about that. It's amazing how Holy Spirit created the atmosphere for this word. You know, I just love it that we don't have to sit there and try to get together as a committee and figure out, okay, what are we going to sing so that it will be prepared? Holy Spirit knows. And I like it when Holy Spirit does it because that means if he's prepared the word, he's prepared your heart to receive. You don't have something shoved down your throat. How many like that?
Yeah.
No way. You like it, Glenn? Okay. I'll keep that in mind. Okay, I got you now. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Now, this can be hard, because you could read this and you can say, okay, now I have to make myself holy. Oh boy, now you're just about ready to trip and fall. Did you know that? Romans 7 says that it's the law that causes sin to happen. So if you hear me say this today, don't hear me say, Pastor Mike told us we had to go live holy lives and we better do it or else. That's not what I'm saying. Please do not get that. Please do not get that. Because it's so easy to fall into that, because I did for years, that it was like, this is what God says. If you don't do it, the hammer's coming down. That's not what I'm saying here. This is coming from a heart of love. Everything God does is motivated by love. Wouldn't you say? If it says in Romans 13 that without love it's, you know, it profits nothing, how much more then God's everything that he does in the word is out of love. I've just started to process this, because for years I've just read like, well, God had to hammer these guys because he's got a plan and he just what, but his whole plan is love. God is love. You can't separate love and God. So when he was doing things to entire nations that you would say, oh, that was hideous, that was horrible that he did that, it was out of love. We can't understand that, why, you know, him wiping out a nation is love, but it is love. Some people say, well, that doesn't make sense. That's because we have carnal minds. We think in the carnal and we don't think spiritual, then we'll say certain things that God does. For like an instance, I'm going to stop here. It's Ananias and Sapphira. You guys know that story? Ananias and Sapphira, a couple brand new Christians. You know, the church is like buzzing in Jerusalem. They're out the gate. And I mean, there's signs and wonders are happening. And I believe that, you know, the church is expanding. 3,000 were saved in one day. And I'm sure they started to grow as they met from house to house. And so what ended up happening is that people were so excited about what God had done for their life. Talk about a tithe and offering. They would sell their entire property estate and they would come and lay it at the apostles' feet, so that all the other needs of every other believer could be met. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? You'd say, wow, those people are... But they were doing out of love. See, they weren't doing it out of to be seen. They were doing out of love. Ananias and Sapphira come along and they say, well, we sold our house. I tell you what, you know, we need about another extra $20,000. So yeah, it wasn't that. But I'm just making it so weak because I don't even know what you called this stuff back then. So anyway... You know, I don't want to get it out of my mind. I'm trying to think. So anyway, say $20,000, and they sold the house for $100,000. So they went to the apostles' feet, and they laid $80,000 at their feet. Now, that's a good sum of money, right? We sold our house, and here's the money. And then what happens? Peter says, why did you conspire? Why were you thinking of lying to God? And the money was yours. You could have kept it. But why did you try to lie to God? And Ananias fell dead. Yeah, and see, I read that in my Bible. I said, ooh, God's mean. I'm telling you, I did. I did for years. I mean, to the point, you know, like, whoa, that's like that kind of holiness comes back and that kind of atmosphere comes back. I mean, you know, those are going to be dreadful times. And I mean, that's the kind of way I thought. Well, his wife wasn't with him at the time, and she comes in a little bit later. And they've already taken her husband out and buried him. And the guys come back, and they're walking through the door, and she's up at the front. And he goes, did you and your husband sell this property for this much? He goes, yeah. And she agreed with what he said, and she fell dead. That's crazy, isn't it? Now, think of this. That was done because of love. Now, you have to go and ask God. You have to get into your private times because I'm still trying to get all of it. I understand that it wasn't just for Ananias and Sapphira, and their relationship with God was between them, but God did that out of love because he knew for whatever reason that needed to happen. Holy Spirit knew that needed to happen at that time to make the church healthy. That's how much he loves. Now, you guys are going like, whoa, now this is God. And this is why we have to have the fear of the Lord. I believe that Ananias and Sapphira weren't operating in the fear of the Lord. They were operating out of, wow, this is what everybody else is doing, but let's just we'll mix it up a little bit. I truly believe that we're coming in times that there's not room for mixing it up. There's room for exposing our heart, our motives, why we're doing what we're doing, what we're planning on doing to the Lord and to each other. Why? Because it's what God requires. Be holy as he is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. That's a lot of holy. And that's talking about us being holy. And if you call on the Father, and we do, man, we're starting to call on the Father. I mean, almost every time I pray, Father, I thank you. You know, I used to just pray just to Jesus because I never really understood. I heard people pray to the Father and like, well, they just don't know they can talk to Jesus. And I thought like I had something better because they were praying to the Father. And it was just such bad thinking, not realizing that I had Jesus because of the Father. And I have Holy Spirit because of Jesus and the Father. So the Father is worthy to be prayed to. And Jesus died so that I could pray to him. That's one of the reasons why Jesus died, so I could have access to the Father. And here I was over here talking to, you know, like, oh, Jesus. You know, like, and he said, this is great, I'll help you. But man, you know, my Father, your Father wants this relationship with you. So as we call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work? Without partiality. So in other words, Ananias and Sapphira, were they just picked on? No. Somebody else could have done it. They weren't like just marked down. Yeah, Ananias and Sapphira, check them off. No. Without partiality, God judges. He's no respecter of person. If he blesses one, he can bless another. And if judgment comes to one, judgment comes to another. We can just go from like, you know, just like, oh, God's so good and I just love him and he loves me and everything. But we have to get to the reality that this walk is a walk of faith and it's an important walk and we need to take it seriously. Be of sober mind, right? Isn't that what Peter says? Gird up the loins of your mind. Rest in that hopeful. Don't just partially talk about God's grace. Fully embrace it. This is the fear of the Lord that I'm talking about. Because listen, he judges according to each one's work. Now, I'm ceasing from my own labors. I don't know about you. So how does he judge me according to my work if I'm ceasing from my own labors, right? I'm entering his rest. Because what I'm doing is I'm ceasing from my own strength, my own abilities, my own scheming, planning, and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, you work through me to have this work out my salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, it says work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but I'm not trying to do the work. I'm trying to rest in the one who can work through me. See, Jesus had a statement that he made, and a lot of people read it, and they just have such a hard time with it. He says, I don't do anything that I don't see my Father doing. Or I don't say anything that I don't see my Father saying. In other words, my Father in me works through me. That's how I do what I do. So do you see what I'm saying? So it's going to be easy to fulfill this, letting God be fully in you. You're not going to do this being holy in your own strength. It's impossible. You have to yield and submit to God. Then it's going to be easy. That's where Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Because I guarantee if you guys go out of this place today and say, I've got to be holy. Oh my goodness, what does that look like? Well, let me see, that means I don't spit or chew or go with girls that do. I think that's it right there. You know, I'm just saying, you know, you'll come up with some kind of list. You know, I don't know if that will be it, but it'll be something that you'll use as your standard for holiness. And it will fall short of God's glory. Because he is holy, and guess what? We can't see holiness like he is. But that holiness, hey brother, that holiness abides in us. Did you guys know that? It abides in us. It lives in us. Somehow, God, and I believe all of God, I don't think he just gives me a piece of him. And you're going to say, well, how can he be in all of you and all of me at the same time? And how can he be in all of heaven at the same time? He's God. He can work those things out. But listen, all of God somehow is inside of me. I'm not saying I get just a drop in the bucket. All of him. So his holiness is inside of me. Now, do I let it have its room to live? Or do I restrain it with my own works, my own abilities, my own ways? And yet, that's what keeps us, or I should say, and that's what makes us not holy. I hope this is making sense. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Conduct yourself. That word conduct means like perform. It means like to do, to work your stay here out in fear. In fear what? In fear of judgment? No, in fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. A fear of the Lord is this. It's saying, God, you are awesome. You created everything. It's going out of your house in the middle of summer or in the middle of winter, and you look up in the sky and you see the stars and say, wow, God, you're amazing. This is your creation. I can't even see the end of it. My eyes are just barely seeing, you know, past our atmosphere, except for the really, really bright stuff. I mean, I can only see so much because of the haze of the, and you created those, I don't know how many galaxies that are out there. And you know, the universe seems like it's endless. And yet somehow he holds it in his hand. Somehow it's all just held together with a word. In him all things consist. He holds it all together by his power. And yet he's not straining at it. Oh boy, I hope I can keep this going, because if I let go, it's going to be a mess. No! He can still have intimacy with me and intimacy with you and the angelic forces and the Holy of Holies is going on. He's never distracted. He's never lost. He's never, you know, missed an alarm on his phone. This, God doesn't operate like that. He's holy. Now that's what I'm telling you. This is the awesome God that we serve. Awe. Fear is what I'm talking about. Fear realizing that he is the one that created me. He knows the number of hairs on my head. And some of you say, well, I can too. No, there's little ones there. Probably by now, because I think they're pretty stubby right now. But the point being, he knows all of this up here. He knows every cell in my body. He knows exactly what's going on in me right now. And you too at the same time. Now, if that's not someone to go, and someone to revere, someone to give our allegiance to, someone to yield our ways to. See, when we take up our own ways, now I'm not talking about taking up your own cross. I'm talking about we take up our own ways, our own plans, our own desires. Then what we're doing is we're not fearing him. We're not giving him the awe and the reverence that he's due. See, in a way, that's what Ananias and Sapphira were doing. Well, this makes sense, because we need the money. So let's just tell them we gave them this. They'll never know. Holy Spirit knew. God knew. Listen to this. This is important. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold. You know, no one paid for you with anything of this earth. You're not God's property because enough cash was paid for you. So basically what he's saying, there's no amount of money here on this earth that's worth what you're worth, because it's all corruptible. No, you were redeemed with, like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, we have to remember that we have been purchased. We are a purchased possession. There's a title deed somewhere, and God holds it. Do you guys know that? He does. When I said yes to the Lord when I was 19, and he drew me to himself, I didn't find God. He found me and brought me to himself. And when I said, yeah, you can have this if you really want it, and he did, he took title deed of me. And I became his. And my needs became his needs, and my life became his. And I was a purchased possession. That blood of Jesus Christ that I received to cover my sins and cleanse me so that I wouldn't have to go to hell, because that's why I got saved, so I wouldn't go to hell. I'm honest. It wasn't because God was going to love me or because, you know, I just did not want to go to hell. And he worked out all the details over the years. But it wasn't just about not going to hell. It was about being transformed and changed in the image of his son. But he holds this title on me now. I'm his purchased possession. And I'm excited about that. And because of that, I revere him. And I yield my ways to him. Okay, would you turn with me now to 1 Corinthians? Excuse me, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Therefore, Did you guys know that when you read it, therefore, just when you're about just to read a passage, you got to go, oops, unless you know what that is there for? Because that's there for a reason. That therefore is there for a reason. So let's find out what the reason is with me, would you please? Let's go back to, holy cow, you can go back a long ways. But I think, yeah, I think we can probably get the gist of it if we start in 13 of 6. You almost need all of chapter 6, though, but we'll start at verse 13 to get the idea. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Says that he's going to what? Walk? Dwell? Be our God? We'll be his people? That if we come out from among them, what is among them? That's the world system. That's the world order. Some people would say, well, does this mean I can't have any Christian, non-Christian friends? Well, unequal yoke means that you have taken a, yoked means you've taken a, like a partnership. Yoking was what two oxen would do. They would put them together in like a harness and they would have to work together. They, one couldn't go anywhere else unless the other one went. That's what yoking means. It says, don't be in such a way with an unbeliever that if he goes over there, you have to go with him. In other words, unbeliever says, hey, we're going to go party tonight. You go, okay, let's go party. That's what he's talking about. That's like saying light and darkness are dwelling together. Then it says here, and I will be a father to you. I don't know if I ever really read that like I read it this morning and yesterday. I just like, oh, I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. That's God himself saying that about us. Now listen to this. Therefore, now we know what it's there for, don't we? Therefore, having these promises, what promises? That he will walk with us, that he will dwell with us, that if we separate ourselves, that he'll be, that we'll be a holy people for him, we'll be his people, that he'll be our God and he'll be our father and we'll be his sons and daughters. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of this flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That perfecting holiness is the word like complete. So it's like we need to be in such a fear and reverence of the Lord and for the Lord. Not just of the Lord, but I believe it's for the Lord. It's not that we're looking at him like, ah, like it's like we're looking, I mean, it's like you love your dad. I mean, how many know that, you know, when you grew up, you respected your dad and you revered your dad because, you know, he could spank you, but there was also, he was my dad. I always had kind of a different relationship with my dad because he, you know, my mom and him were divorced when I was really young, and you know, and it, so we weren't close, and he's always kind of been, you know, just a, well, he's a fortune hunter, so he travels, you know, the world. He's been South America, you know, and he's in Oregon, deep into Oregon right now, doing some kind of, you know, fortune hunting, you know, and but so I've never really had, you know, like a long-term close relationship with him. But still, he's my dad. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and so I respect, and I have a respect for him, not just of him. You know, he's not like an entity that, and that's the way we kind of look at God. It's like, oh, I have a respect of him, you know. No, it's for him. We want to be drawn to him. See, if we respect God and awe him, it's not that we have to, you know, stay away from him. We can approach this awesome, amazing Father of ours. Someone was telling me the other day, we can sit in his lap. Now, I've never done that, unless it was like totally spiritually, and I don't even realize it, but we can sit in his lap. And there's nothing I really more, I think, endearing for a parent. I mean, I remember when, you know, Tim, he's kind of big now, but I mean, he's a little kid, and Stephen, they would sit in your lap, and you'd hold them, and it's just, I mean, it's just a close intimacy. And we can have that kind of intimacy with our Father. Our Heavenly Father. Now, how that looks, probably different for all of us. But that kind of intimacy is what's waiting for us. And that's the kind of fear that we need to have of him. Because it's always about, he's going to squash us. I mean, anybody else relate? It's like we get out of line and Ananias and Sapphira, we're going to drop dead, you know? Squash us like a bug and, you know, because that's what it looks like there, right? If you don't look at that situation through eyes of love, you think he just squashed them like a bug. You know, and that's not true. I believe that's why Paul said, you know what? You know, whether I'm shipwrecked, whether I've got a lot of money, or I don't have any money, or whether I've been, you know, beaten, you know, scourged, whatever it is, I'm content. I can praise the Lord. It's because he had that right thinking about his Father. He had that right thinking about his God. We've been redeemed with precious blood. Precious blood. I mean, we can't even understand the depth of the power of the blood of Christ. It says that it's still speaking for us. It speaks better things than that of the blood of Abel. And I believe that's because the blood of Abel was in this temporary realm. And even though it was able to speak for a little bit, because it says, in if you go back into Genesis, that the blood of Abel was crying out that he was killed by his brother Cain. And Cain is accused because of the brother blood that was saying, he killed me. But Jesus' blood is still speaking for you and I today. When we make a mistake, when we sin, when we fall short of God's glory, guess what? His blood intercedes for us. That's craziness. That makes no sense to these natural minds. Anybody else there with me? Because it doesn't make sense. How can blood still be speaking? But it tells you of the power of God that has redeemed us and saved us. Has redeemed and saved you. Has redeemed and saved me. And that is the kind of awe and the kind of thought process we're to have so that we can have, what's it say here? A perfecting holiness in the fear of God. A completing this holiness in the fear of God. I was thinking about this illustration. I'll end with this. You know, the fear of God can be looked at like, well, to me, you were talking about a police officer. You know, because they carry a certain amount of authority. They carry a certain amount of demeanor. I mean, have any of you ever been like pulled over and immediately you just start like going, what did I do wrong? And you start to, you know, do I have any back, you know, warrants or anything? You know, you just start thinking about all this stuff, you know. So they carry a certain amount of air about them. But I want to approach this thought of of this holy conduct and this living this life as this illustration. Let's suppose that you were a person, and you're driving your car, and you're coming to a school zone. And the school zone, you know, is a place where we're to normally slow down. You know, normally it's about 25 miles an hour. Sometimes they have flashing lights. Sometimes they have signs. Sometimes they actually have people that are standing waiting to get people across the crosswalk. And there's two ways you can really approach coming. And the same car, different cars may go by, and they may both do what they're supposed to do. But one may be doing out of love, another one may be doing it out of fear. Let me explain this to you. A person doing it out of love sees that it's a school. The person doing it out of love sees the children coming out of the school. The person doing it out of love sees those hearts and those lives as precious, that they matter to other parents, and that it's life. And so they slow down in honor of that life and in honor of respecting what has been asked of them. And so they drive through even when the signs aren't out. They see it, it's a school zone. All of a sudden they go, oh man, there might be children here. And they slow down. Not out of like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to get pulled over. No, but out of honor and love. See, that's a way we can serve God. We can serve God out of love for our brothers and sisters. We can serve God because I don't want to cause you to stumble. I don't want to cause my family to stumble. I don't want to cause them to have to, you know, try to figure out, you know, how to live a Christian life on their own because I don't example that for them. Do you see? Or you can be like this person. They're driving. Boy, they're late for work. And it's 25. They're right at 29. Because they know, I'll slide through this at 29, you know. And so they do. And they, you know, the next day, you know, maybe, wow, I slid through at 29. Let me see, maybe I can go 32 or 33 because I got to get to work. I'm running late. And so they're never considering what's going on here. They're considering their own needs. They're considering their own destiny. They're considering their own arrival point that they want to get to. And they're not considering the other lives around them. And now that same person, they come and they get pulled over. Oh, man. They were doing 35 one day. They were making 29, 32, maybe 35. And they get pulled over and they get a citation. They go, oh, man, I got caught. Busted. So now they go back and they're driving, paying attention, and now they're honoring it because they're afraid. See, there's some of us that have gotten busted by God because he corrects those he loves, guys. He does. If you're saying, why did God do that? Why did he allow that to happen? Because he loves you. If he didn't love you, he'd let you just run your life into the ground and, you know, end up, you know, in a body bag somewhere. But he loves you. That's why he corrects you. But some of us say, oh, I got caught. Okay, well, those are the rules, then on I'll live. You start living your life in God by these rules, and you set up these roadblocks and these things that you, well, I won't go there, I won't do that because I'll make him mad, and it's you've lost the reason for living as a Christian. It's not out of a healthy fear of who he is and that he loves you, that he first loved you when you weren't even lovable. It's out of, oh man, if I do something, he's going to jump on me. And you know what? You'll lose the joy of your salvation. You'll lose the reason why. You'll lose sight of even why you gave your heart to the Lord. And you'll find inch by inch, little by little, you're back 29, 32. You'll just do it all over again. Because all of a sudden you lose sight of what was all important. It's about him. And it's about our brothers and sisters. It's about a lost and dying world. If we can keep our eyes fixed on that, then I believe we'll stay in the fear of the Lord. And I believe we'll have holy conduct. And I believe others won't see our lives and even blaspheme the name of God because of what we do. They'll see our lives, and even though they might not agree with it, they'll respect it. And when God does speak to them, They may be the ones, they may be the ones who come and talk to us about what we have. I believe, as I've said before, these are significant times we're living in. The Spirit of God is doing amazing things all over the earth. In my heart, I believe He's doing things in your heart. I believe He's speaking to us as His children like He's never spoken before. His voice can be heard. It's being sounded out throughout the earth. But on the flip side of that, we need to realize there's more responsibility now, more than ever, to find out what it means to fear the Lord. What it means to look at Him and in awe of Him and look at Him in His Word in awe of Him. Not in a way that we're going to just obey these rules and stay within the lines and we'll be okay, but in a way that we please our Father. We please Him. We please each other. And because of that, I believe we're going to be happier. As Dennis is sleeping. We're going to be happier. The back of a police car. Now, I don't recommend doing all those things they did, you know. Get your license, do all that. Because the Romans 13, read that, says to obey the laws of the land. But, still asleep. But, to be in the back of a car in that situation and be full of joy and to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ to the place that you blow the policeman away is pretty cool. You got to admit. See, he's not doing that stuff because he's got these ideas of God that, you know, if I do this and I do that, you know, I'll be okay. No, he's just doing it because God loves him. And he loves God. He just wants to be a good son. He wants to make his dad happy. And I believe that that's the heart that God's looking for. Not a complex religious doctrinal guy that can quote every scripture and point every flaw in someone else's life. But somebody that says, wow, God loves me so much. I just want to love others. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Well, Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can embrace the fear of God. And Lord, I know that at times it's easier to do, and sometimes it's difficult because of things that we've done ourselves and things that others have done to us and things that just seem to get in the way. But Lord, we're willing and we ask that you help us, Holy Spirit, to learn what it means to fear the Lord. If it's the beginning of wisdom, Lord, teach us to fear the Lord. Teach us the right way to fear you, an honorable way, Lord, a revering way, Lord, an awe way. And Lord, when I pray right now for anyone who has had that experience with you, Lord, where they feel like you've just punished them over and over again, and now they live, Lord, in chains, Lord, of a system, God, that they really can't live up to. That they're getting to the end, Lord, of trying to do it all themselves. I pray right now, Lord, that you would just bring deliverance and freedom to those individuals right now. Father, as you're even speaking to them, their heart, Lord, let Holy Spirit just ring truth so clear in them that they can receive that truth and walk in that truth, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are showing us how to live for you. You're removing the junk from our lives, and you're teaching us how to be sons and daughters. You're walking alongside of us, the cool of the day, sometimes in the hot of the day, sometimes in the storms of life, you're speaking to us. Still small voice, quietly saying, go this way, child. Walk this way. I'll be with you. I'll take you through it. I'll hold your hand. I'll hold your heart. Thank you, Lord, that we can rely and trust in you. And we'll just continue to give you the praise and the glory, Lord, for how we turn out. Because we know, Lord, that you've started a good work in us, and you will be faithful to complete it in us, God. You're not going to leave us undone. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we got several things up here for you guys. Have a great week, and go and rest in the fear of the Lord.